How do you get away from prejudice? How do you get away from the emotional anatomy of the need for prejudgment? 9. How do we turn a mission statement into a constitution, the supreme guiding force of an entire organization, instead of a collection of nebulous, meaningless, and cynicism-inducing platitudes, so that it has actual effect on a day-by-day basis, so that it's the frame of reference, so that it is literally like a constitution, the supreme law of the land? How do we do that? 10. How do we maintain control and yet give people freedom and autonomy that they really need in order to be effective and fulfilled? See, that's a dilemma. If you control, there's no freedom. If you give freedom, then you might have perhaps some loose cannons and you have to bring back the control. What if you could come up with a paradigm that could resolve that and all of these other dilemmas? That's what we are about in this discussion. And this presentation is going to require tremendous mental energy because I'm going to move slowly but sequentially, and each part will build upon the prior part. So really go to work with me. All I've done to this point is try to introduce you to the whole concept of paradigms and the necessity to really look at your paradigms if you want to make quantum improvements in life, in organizations. We've also looked at these dilemmas so that we become aware of the consequences of old, partial, incomplete paradigms. I want to now present a paradigm. It's really a new theory of management, if you examine it in its entirety, that will resolve every one of those dilemmas. If properly understood and applied, literally will resolve those dilemmas. Now that's saying a lot, properly understood and applied, I admit. But let's first work on the first part, the understanding. Now the metaphor I would like to use is that of a compass. I like it because a compass has true north. In other words, a principle is an objective reality. See, a principle is something that is external. A value is internal. A principle is objective. A value is subjective. We would like to have our values, of course, in harmony with principles. So oftentimes we can use the word synonymously. But I'm suggesting that the concept of true north, that there is some objective reality, submagnetic pole, that inevitably, no matter where that compass is put, points there, represents the concept of principle-centered leadership. Now, I'd like to give some reasons why I suggest that the compass or principle-centered leadership is truly an idea whose time has come. I'd like to give four of them. Think carefully about each of them. Let me ask you first this question. Today's world, if you were to think about it and all that's happening, would you describe it like a freeway system or a wilderness? Which would be the most apt description?
Wilderness.
Why? Why isn't it a freeway system?
Rate of change.
Okay, the rate of change. And if it were a freeway system, what would that mean?
Organized.
It'd be more predictable.
Right. Less predictable. People would know where they were going.
Okay. The change is so dynamic and so constant, and the rate of it is increasing, that it's very hard to get a handle on the future at all. Would you not agree? I mean, I think it's almost an expression of future shock. You can hardly deal with it. It is so rapid and so complex, and happening everywhere at so many different levels, and the problems and issues that are emerging from all of that change are throwing us and throwing our institutions. See, a freeway system is a very well-established highways with patterns and maps, and you know that if I go here, then I'll arrive here. But in the world of business, in the world of organizations. You don't know that. The old model, strategic planning model, of setting up long-term goals and strategic plans to achieve those goals, those almost have to be written annually because of the dynamism that is happening out there in the marketplace.